has exclusive access into the heart of racing. The Racing Pulse Inner Sanctum.
Really looking forward to the next hour. I've got a couple of young star riders coming to the studio with vastly different stories, really. Tio Nugent's going to come in from 9:30 till 10, and Tio came from down Warrnambool way. His old man was a jumps trainer, and Tio spent an interesting 12 months in Ireland at a jockey academy, and now riding for Mar Eustace. And Freddie Kersley joins me, and I knew Freddie's old man and his mum quite well back in the day. Gavin, of course, Group 1 Gav, and Kelly, who was a champion harness driver and, of course, drove, I think it was Norm's daughter, to a Miracle Mile win. Is that right, Freddie? Yeah, Freddie's nodding. It. And, of course, the great Fred Kersley is his granddad who turned 80 the other day. So great pedigree there, and Freddie's off to Warrnambool today to ride for Paul Pruska. How are you, Freddie? Good to see you on a busy day.
Yeah, no, it's good to be here. It's been a while since I've been in the studio, so it's good to get back.
Lots happened in that time, too. Just tell us about your day so far. I always marvel at what you guys can squeeze into a day, and you are riding at Warrnambool, which is a 3.5-hour drive away, but have you been up and about early this morning doing stuff?
Yes, I have. So this morning, my morning started at 4:30. I hopped out of bed.
Hopped out or fell out?
Fell out. Fell out and fell onto my first horse at track work.
Flemington?
Yep, that's it. So I started track work at 5 at Flemington this morning for my boss, David. And rode out until about 7:45, got home, packed my bags for Warrnambool, had a shower, and now I'm here in the studio with you guys.
And there's an interesting story about the trip to Warrnambool too, which I'm going to ask you about. You guys, you and a few of your mates, have got together and organised a valet who does a lot of the stuff for you, including gets behind the wheel to go to a few of these meetings. What's the story with your valet?
Sounds
a bit posh, to be honest.
Look, we need all the help we can get, but Jordan Dean, one of our, you know, he's mates with all the boys, and he's, you know, really close mate of mine. He helps out a fair few of us in the jockeys room, so if it's anything like washing silks or taking race bags to the next meeting the next day, and looking after and cleaning our gear and saddles and etc. he does that, and we pay him well and look after him, but it just helps having him along for the 3-hour drive to Warrnambool. He can take the wheel.
What's he got, a stretch limo or something, or a Hummer?
Nah, he just takes my car at the minute, but surely with the money we pay him, he'll be able to get one of them soon.
So you're already trying to get the message across that you're overpaying him. So what's just a bit more about it? I know Craig Williams was the first one to noticeably have a valet at the races, and I would imagine that because racing is so busy for you guys now, you need someone who can fulfill that sort of role. So other than washing your gear and things like that, which other apprentices are involved in this this Jordan Dean valet service?
Well, look, there's not many apprentices, but Deanie, as we call him, he's got a fair few riders he looks after. He looks after Michael Walker, helps him out, like Mark Zara, Ben Mellum. So he'll clean their gear along with Damien Lane. And, Deanie's just someone I met as a mate. And, you know, then I soon realised he'd be working in the jocks room. So I, brought him on board, and he's a great help to me. And especially if you have a fair few rides of a meeting, you're riding light, you know, your frame of mind's focused on the race, he looks after everything else in between. So it's good having him.
How important is it to keep the gear clean, like the riding gear, not as much the clothing and the silks and stuff? How important is maintenance of the saddles and so on?
Look, it's really just presentation. Like, you have owners that watch the trainer saddle up a horse, and your name's written all over your gear, so you don't want to be sending it out, you know, still with sweat and other horse hair and whatnot and dirt on it. And, you know, if it's a wet day, like, if it's a wet day or a day on the synthetic that we're racing, you know, that can get stuck to a lot of your gear. So it's just about, it's expensive race gear, and I hate buying it. So best Deanie can look after it, the less I have to buy.
That's true. So these road trips with Deanie, what are they, 3 or 4 a week, that sort of thing? How does it play out?
Look, I really couldn't put a number on it, because it just depends where I'm riding and what meeting he's going to. But, you know, it's a few times a week that, you know, he'll drive the races and I'll drive home or something like that. We'll share the load. So it's easy, and you know, it's, you know, it becomes pretty tiring waking up at 4:30.
Well, the risk, I remember when there was a push a few years ago to reduce the working hours of young jockeys, there was one of the things that came up was this recurring stories of young riders who were getting so fatigued behind the wheel that they were nearly driving off the road. Have you found it's really important with your busy schedule to not be driving?
Yes, it is. Look, if it was up to me, I wouldn't drive, but, you know, I have to. And, it, you know, when you think of it, we're getting our day starts at 4:30 and we don't stop until we get home from the races. There'll be an odd day where we get a nap in between, but generally we've always got something on, we're always busy, so you do realise you can become quite fatigued behind the wheel. And, you know, even if the passenger in the seat doesn't drive, just someone to talk to really does keep you stay alert.
Yeah, absolutely. Hey, I'm imagining you don't have to go to Horsham to ride track work for Paul Prushka, but he is a good ally of yours, and we had him on just before, and you've had a great run with I Am Someone, and he said an interesting line. He said, there's something going on with Fred, meaning you've got a bit of a special quality. You and Paul Prushka seem to have clicked very well.
Yeah, look, Paul, I sort of just fell into his stable when I come just through my manager, Pete Newcomb, and, you know, it's been a great relationship that we have. And, look, I've been fortunate enough to get on the right horses at the right time and get the job done. So, you know, some of them haven't been as pretty as others, but we've still been able to get the job done. So it's things are going wonderful at the minute.
And when Paul gets one going, he really gets it going, doesn't he? Like Magic Console peaked at the age of 9. I Am Someone who's put together two massive peak wins. He's got an interesting training style. Have you developed many insights into the way he goes about it?
Look, it's, if I could, I'd love to go out there and ride track work for him, but, you know, I'm tied down to a major stable at Flemington, so, you know, that doesn't give me the option to go out there and ride track work for him. And I think if I did, I'd notice a fair few things that he does differently to other trainers, because race day you can notice that his horses are there, you know, he steps his horses out in good condition, but they're a lot different from Lindsay Park horses. And when he likes one, as you said, he likes one and he knows.
He reminds me of Darren Weir in a way. He's got the same sort of laconic country style as Darren Weir. Now, your boss, David, is David Hayes, and that's been the story since you came over for Perth in about 2017 from memory. So we're now nearly 2 years into your time over here from Perth, and you came over as a young man. 2 years in, how's it all going generally?
It's not quite 2 years, it's almost, but so far it's been good. I come over here and I think within the first 3 or 4 months I called Victoria home, and, you know, I'm not looking back anytime soon, but I've been fortunate enough to, you know, to have great support, whether it be smaller trainers or the country trainers or, you know, the big major stables. I've been able to have support at the times that I needed it, and you know, things are going well, and, you know, I just got to keep the ball rolling.
Your mum's in Perth and your dad's in Melbourne, and a young man coming over, I imagine it's important to have a parent here, but is there periods of loneliness and adjustment and all that sort of stuff?
There is a little bit, but, I mean, I'm riding near on every day. I've always got something to do, which really helps keep my mind off it. And, you know, when you're riding winners, it's a lot easier to like where you are. But, yeah, when you go through a dry spell and whatnot of not many winners, or you're just running seconds and you just can't crack it, they're the times that it gets lonely. But, I mean, I'm fortunate enough to have, you know, good family, good friends around me, and, you know, a great rider agent in Pete Newcomb that, you know, he really supports me and he's basically family.
Is there a group, there seems to be amongst the older crew, I know Ben Mallum and Luke Curry and Mark Zara are all, and Damien Lane are all a bit of a crew that hang together. Have you got a bit of a young crew amongst the young jockeys?
Yeah, there is a bit of a younger crew, but it's you know, we do mingle with the older boys a little bit more. But it's, you know, it's people like Zara and Mallum that, you know, and Damien Lane, you know, they're great helps. They sort of point you in the right direction.
There's a lot of role models there, aren't there? That handful you mentioned, is there one in particular that you've gravitated to as a role model?
Oh, look, Damien Lane only because he's purely a Perth boy. And, you know, a fair few times he's said to me a couple of things like at the races, do this, do that and whatnot. But it's not.
What are some of the subtle things that you've been directed alerted to by some of those seniors?
Look, it's hard. Say one example would be, like, if you're at the races, you're riding light, your mind's not where it should be, you pop off the fence too early, or you're too patient, you miss the run. It's stuff like that. They'll quickly grab your side and say, hey, mate, should have done this, and you know, just switch on for this next one or something like that. So, you know, and that, not many riders look out for you in that sense.
Mm.
But it's good to have, you know, people like that help me out no matter how great or small it is.
Absolutely, yeah. And the stable that you've been most associated with for the entire 1.5 years that you've been here has been Lindsay Park. And even the great stables go through ups and downs, and they're enduring a bit of a frustrating run at the moment, aren't they? They had a relatively lean spring carnival, and even just in the last week and a half, they've had a lot of good horses go under. So it's just one of those waves you've got to ride out as a stable, but you're being a jockey attached to it. I suppose you've noticed that the seconds need to translate into firsts for a while.
Yeah, look, they do. As you said, every stable goes through that, and you know, no matter how bad the stable's going, no matter how good they're going, it's David Hayes brought me over here, and I'll always owe that to him. He put me on the, you know, I was going to say put me on the map, but I'm not there yet. But he really helped me out, and he's put me in the right direction. So no matter if they're going good or bad, I'll always stick by him.
Do you get up to Euro much?
Of late, I haven't really all that much because there's another apprentice up there, Lewis German. So he's based at Euroa and I'm based at Flemington, but I do go up to Euroa, I'd say near on once every 2 weeks, you know, just to go up there, gallop a few horses. I'll get a feel of them if I'm riding them on a Saturday. It's good going up there, and you know, we've all seen it's a lovely facility.
What's it like riding the system up there, because it's such a beautiful undulating property and they've got that beautiful track and the uphill gallop. What's it like riding in that environment, just track work?
Look, it's quite unique. In Perth, I'd ridden on, you know, a few farms and whatnot, but I've really never ridden on something that's a private training operation like that. And I know it's amazing facility. It's well documented how good it is, and it's quite unique and different, you know, galloping horses up a slight undulation and, you know, even up hills, no matter if it's, you know, grass, synthetic or sand, David's got it all. And we see when the team's flying, he knows when to peak a horse and to keep it going.
Yeah, he's a great trainer and it's a great team up there. Is there a sense that the wheel's turning, that they've always got nice horses coming through? What's your feeling about the next 3 or 4 months for Team Hayes?
Look, I hope it's good, because if it's good for them, it's good for all of us.
But, is the vibe good?
Look, the vibe's good. Through everything, it's, you know, there hasn't really been a dull moment around the stables. Everyone walks around holding their head up high and still goes about their business how we should. But it's, you know, everyone has good patches and bad patches, and eventually time will come round. I wouldn't be able to say when it is, but there is some nice horses coming through the stables, and David's fortunate enough to have great owners, so I'm sure there'll be a fair few horses that come through and, you know, spark the place up again.
He's nominated 30,000 horses for the All-Star Miles. Maybe one of them will get in.
He has.
Yeah. And being connected to such a big stable, but it sounds like you still have the opportunity to pick up rides away from Lindsay Park when they pop up?
Yeah, I do, but it's, you know, there's good and bad being attached with a large stable. I mean, I'm not able to ride outside track work and to do any of that for outside trainers and other owners. So it's when you get a quiet week and you know, like coming up, I've only got one ride this week for David. I've just lost my country claim, so not being able to ride track work makes things a lot harder to get them outside rides. I'll obviously still have the support from, you know, like the Paul Priskers and, you know, trainers like that to support me. But, you know, as a whole, it's going to become a lot harder for me. And I think it's just, you know, head down, bum up, and, you know, just trying to ride them winners.
Well, you outrode your claim on the weekend, and that's always a milestone for a young jock. But as you say, that next stage of your career is the most difficult one when you haven't got that to rely on. How old are you now?
I'm 19.
Because I remember the day you were born, and it it sort of came just after the North. So Northerly wouldn't be something you ever experienced other than on videotapes, would it?
Look, Northerly, there's a couple of photos that I was over here, and I think it's 2001, 2002, and I was just a little whippersnapper. But, yeah, I've never really... My only real memory of him is I remember one of my good mates, Aaron Mitchell, and I rode him at Ascot back in Perth, and... Yeah, that was a pretty good memory. But
when he was a special guest type thing. Even as an old man horse, how did he feel?
Oh, look, he was still a mongrel of a horse.
Because he never looked like a good horse, no, did he?
Look, he always wanted to lay in. He used to carry his head high. You know, if I was around riding for Pop in the day, I would have struggled with him. But, look, yeah.
Don't worry, everyone struggled with him.
Yeah.
But, so Pop turned 80 the other day.
Yes, he did. Yeah, I was... fortunate enough, I think it was the Monday after Perth Cup weekend in Perth, and I was fortunate enough to go over there and ride, and I was actually going to come home because David wanted me back at work, and I got a text message from Qantas saying that they'd taken me off my flight and put me on another one, so I got to stay there for an extra day for Pop's.
Did David believe that lie when you told him that?
Oh, look, I rang my manager and I said, oh, Pete, this is what's happened. I'll send you the email showing you.
Proof.
And my manager said, no, that's one for you. So, yeah, but look, they're all...
How's he going? Because I remember he had a... there was a major incident with a horse kicking him or something about 4 or 5 years ago, and it really, really set him back. How's he travelling, Fred, the legend?
Yeah, look, it did set him back, and it's a miracle he's still around to the day. He was struck by the horse, you know, in the lower part of his face, so his, like, nose and jaw. So any higher, he wouldn't be with us, but... It's you know, he's very fortunate. It's great to have him around. You know, it's just that guidance and wisdom that he has, which is, you know, no one else speaks to me sort of how he does, and, you know.
Sometimes it's important you'll listen more to the next generation above your own parents, won't you? And obviously your dad was a champion jockey and your mum was a champion horsewoman and reinswoman, but sometimes it's... the granddad or the grandma who's the most instructive, but you've got a lot of figures in your life that would have helped along the way, mum, dad, granddad, and others. So who's been the most important figure in your life? And don't leave anyone out.
Yeah. Look, it's hard. It's everyone's really been there for me, and, you know, I find it hard to listen to my parents. I've never really listened to them.
You're not Robinson Crusoe there.
I've never really listened to them too much, but... look, it'd have to be my grandmother Judith. She's the backbone of the family and the backbone of me.
She's a hard but fair type,
yes,
isn't she, Jude?
She's very hard but fair, and you know, she reinforces what Pop says, so that's what sticks in my mind.
All right, and how are Mum and Dad going, by the way? Of course, both famous figures. Mum, Norm's daughter, Miracle Mile, and Gavin, of course, all those Group 1 wins. So how are your parents travelling these days?
Yeah, look, Gav's good. He look, I speak to him on the odd occasion and whatnot, but it's, you know, I'm flat out riding every day, and it's sometimes I'm not good with managing my time. So, but no, he's going along great, and my mum, she's going along very well in Perth. She looks after Pop's stable at Ascot, and, you know, it's still a family business there, and it's great to see because there's not many operations still like that anymore.
Pop's still got 20 or 30 in work, hasn't he?
Yeah, he's still got about 30 in work somehow.
Yeah.
I don't know.
How's he going for winners of late?
Yeah, he's actually had a pretty good run of late. He had two horses in the Perth Cup, which they ran all right. But you know, he's still got support from his good owners, and he's still ticking along well, even though he's 80. But I think for him, he still enjoys doing it, and it's something for him to get out of bed and still do. So no, it's great seeing him have success.
Absolutely. Well, are you going to have any success at the Bull today in your special valet-driven service down there with kicking back and listening to Bruno Mars on the way down to Warrnambool? What have you got? You got that Paul Pushka's very good picking up his vibe, and I get a feeling that Gin Atomic, even despite the wide gate, might be able to string a couple together here in the last.
Yeah, look, that's the one I'm going for, Gin Atomic. We're going to have to overcome a wide gate, but it was a great win by it last start at Geelong. Geordie Childs, he doesn't mind the horse, and you know, fortunate enough to still have my 1.5 kilo claim here, so this meeting will be the last of my claim, and if we can get this across the line, it'll be a bonus for Paulie and I. But yeah, look, I'm sure we can overcome the wide gate, and Iron Machine obviously looks the one to beat, but even it, you know, fair bit of weight on its back, I reckon we can get past it.
All right, that'll a couple of my desperate mates are listening. They'll be all over Gin Atomic now. And Royal Navy, this is first leg of the quaddie. Do we at least throw Royal Navy in the first leg of the quaddie, race 5?
Look, it's we've drawn a nice enough barrier over the trip. Do think it was a good run by the horse last start. And I think the only thing that I might find a little bit difficult is a lump of weight on its back, but give it a nice enough run through the middle stages, we should see it, you know, really finish off well late.
Do you reckon T.O. Nugent's a good rider?
He's just behind you. Oh, well, I better say he is then.
He's just wandered in to do a little tag team slap on the wrist as you exit, and he's going to walk in to tell us about his career as well. Freddie, great to see you, mate. Good to see things are going really well, because you did have that unfortunate injury not long after you first arrived, but you've bounced back in true Kersley style and upward and onwards, mate. So good on you.
Thank you very much. It's a pleasure being here. Thank you.
Thanks, Freddie. Freddie Kersley there. It's 29 minutes past 9 after the break. T.O. Nugent.